And in Genesis chapter 19, and the last part of verse 14. Up, said Lot, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And these are the words. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Peter speaks of those who are willfully unaware of how the world was made and who said, well, the world has always continued like it always has. Willfully forgetting that, of course, there was a flood and only 8 people survived that flood out of all the millions. It had never happened before. And of course, it caught people out. And Noah preached for many years, and God was full of long suffering and patience with those who didn't attend to his preaching. Yet the time came when the ark was closed and only the 8 and the animals that were in the ark were saved. It is a real danger that when we haven't met anything like it in our lives before, that we believe it can't be done. I suppose if any of us had been told that there was going to be a dread disease, say 18 months ago, that was going to lay the whole world low and kill many thousands across the whole wide world, I'm not sure that we would have believed it. And I'm not sure that we would have known what sort of thing this was. Sodom and Gomorrah had gone on for years, as had all the cities of the plain. Do you remember that Abraham had helped the kings of Sodom and the kings of Gomorrah? Let me read to you from Genesis 14, verse 8. And there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Admah and the king of Zeboiim and the king of Bela, the same is Zoar. Remember that? The old name was Bela, the new name was Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim. Now, I'm not going to go into anything else just now, but notice this alliance, the cities of Sodom. Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Bela, the same as Zoar. And they had managed to win with God's help and with Abraham's help against Chedorlaomer, the king of nations. That is to say, not just a local king like they were local kings, but probably one of the leading rulers of the whole world at the time, as well as those he had with him. And perhaps they thought that, of course, they'd won, and life was now going to go on as normal, as before, and in just the same way. And when Lot came to them and said, the Lord is going to destroy the city, he might have said a bit more, like tonight, they laughed at him. They thought he was playing about with them. And they laughed at him. We read about the sons-in-law which married his daughters. We're told in the same chapter that the daughters had not known man. If there were only 2 daughters, then obviously this was just an engagement rather than a marriage. But Lot went out and spoke. Now we go out and we speak, and we proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And among the things that we say is that the Lord will return. Among the things that we say is that there will be due punishment for sin. Among the things that we say is God is righteous, but man is not righteous. That is to say, God is perfect, and man's righteousness would be accepted if he never once had disobeyed. The law would have worked. So taking the 10 commandments, One theft, one lie, one failure to keep the Lord's day, and the other things. That's it. Nothing can be done to put that right. Doesn't matter how long in your life you say, I'll go to church every Sunday, or I'll never lie again. It cannot make up for the one that's already done. And it's only the perfections of God counted to men and women in the gospel that enabled people to be saved. Because as Isaiah said, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So, righteousness uplifts a nation, but sin makes a nation to be ashamed. And so they went, or at least Lot went, with an urgent gospel message. They didn't know that this was the last time they would hear it. A whole lot of people in Sodom of all ages had gathered at the door to commit sodomy with the two angels. And they've been smitten with blindness. Blindness they were to remain. Blind they were to remain when the city was destroyed. That was the last they would see. Note the characteristic of sodomy. All these people, old and young, from every quarter, gathered round the door. I'm not sure that the youngest would all have understood what sodomy was about. But sodomy has that means of drawing in with tentacles all those who really would otherwise not be involved. And as I've said to you before, when prime ministers pass laws, they're permitted. It's not because they're sodomites necessarily, but there's something about sodomy that gets everybody involved and sympathizing with them, and so on. It would have appeared that the sons-in-law to whom Lot went hadn't been present at the door of Lot, hadn't been one of the ones who were blinded. They had stayed in, it would seem. Maybe they didn't take Lot too seriously because he had chosen to live in Sodom. And though he vexed himself from day to day with the evil things that he saw, there were still advantages to him and to his wife in particular in staying there. And maybe because of the fact that he had stayed there and was still there, it may be that his sons-in-law paid no heed to what he said about a very soon coming destruction. Of course, we have no authority to say to people to go out and speak in Friston today or any other public gathering that the place will be destroyed overnight. We cannot bring urgency upon them in that way, but we can say that the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And when he returns, every unsaved sinner will be destroyed. And the numbers are frightening. Only 8 survived in the days of Noah. And though there would have been those who would have survived because Abraham had prayed, there was only Lot and his two daughters who survived Sodom and Gomorrah and Admoim, Bela and the other place. It's threatening. It's astounding. As it stands, if we were to preach the gospel in Preston, and if it was authorized to us to say, come on, up, The world is going to be destroyed tomorrow. You must believe in the gospel now. They would be just the same as these men. They would take no notice. But it is in the mind of the Lord that the taking notice of the gospel is in principle. It doesn't need to be that the world is coming to an end tomorrow, but believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is, today is the day of salvation, according to the Bible. And the reason is, of course, that none of us knows that we will be here tomorrow. None of those men struck blind at the gates of Sodom, at the gates of Lot in Sodom. None of them survived the night. And none of us knows what will happen to us in any future hours. The Lord may have prepared something for us when we're 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, but it's not our right to assume it. We must assume that we must plead for salvation today in Jesus Christ. And that if we don't, there is a real risk that we never will hear again. In the days of Jesus' life, he came and preached the gospel as he passed through Jericho. And blind Bartimaeus heard him. And so did Zacchaeus. And they both believed. As far as we know, nobody else in the place believed. But what Zacchaeus didn't know and blind Bartimaeus and his companion didn't know was that it was the last time that Jesus was going to pass that way. If they didn't take that opportunity, there would never be another. And that is the risk that any person hearing the gospel, ignoring the gospel, takes. That it may be the last time. They may never get another opportunity. Either it will be judicially withdrawn by the Lord, or as events will transpire that will catch them by surprise. There are many that mock at the gospel. There are many who think that because everything in their lifetime has never really changed, then the Lord Jesus won't come again and bring about the destruction of the world. Perhaps they ought to have been warned by COVID, because things that none of us had ever experienced before happened. So why shouldn't it be that something that's never happened before should in fact happen? Why should the Lord not return? And the Lord doesn't tell us when he's going to return. He simply says he will return. And it is a wrong thing to mock the gospel. Abraham, who was the friend of God, God made himself his friend, felt that he would pray. There were three men, do you remember? Two of them angels and one of them the Lord, all in bodily form, who came to visit Abraham. And as Abraham came to see them on their way, two of the angels went to Sodom to look at it, and the Lord himself stayed behind with Abraham, and Abraham knew that it was the Lord. And Abraham prayed what we'd read. Supposing there are 50 who are righteous in the city, would they survive? Why would it be fair to destroy the whole city for 50? Well, I don't know how many they were thinking. He was thinking would be in the city. I expect he had Sodom in mind. Maybe he had Lot in mind and his daughters and his sons-in-law. But Abraham pleaded with the Lord God that if there were 50 righteous in the city. Now, they would not have been righteous in the sense that the righteousness of God is imparted to believers. It would have been people who were righteous as in the old days. They believed in the law and they thought that was going to get them to heaven, whereas the law says one failure, one mistake, and you've had it. So there weren't any righteous unless they have believed as Lot had and Abraham had in the Lord God. So Abraham pleads that if there were 50 there, the place wouldn't be destroyed. There were not 50 there. So he pleads 45, and he pleads 40, and he pleads 30, and he pleads 20. And then he thinks he's pressing it a bit hard and pleads that if there were just 10 righteous people in the city, he wouldn't destroy it. So there were not 10 righteous people in Sodom. There were not 10 righteous people in Gomorrah. There were not 10 righteous people in Adminim. But maybe there were a few in Bela, which became called Zoar. Zoar means little. Maybe that Abraham said, it's a little place. Or it may be, he says, any little thing that I'm asking. But Zoar means little. Now, we don't understand all the goings on. I don't know why Lot, when the angels sent him away and said, escape for your life, look not behind you, neither stay in all the plains, escape to the mountain. Why Lot couldn't do that? Behold, thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Why not? Why couldn't he escape to the mountain? Well, we don't know. Was it that he'd felt so overwhelmed by all that he was going on? Was it that he still thought about his sons-in-law? Well, he never looked back. Whereas his wife looked back because she treasured the things of this world. We had a student at the Metropolitan Tabernacle who was pledged to go back to his native country when he finished his course. But his wife so loved it in England that he stayed. Now, no man should take notice of his wife in those sort of situations. He should take notice of his wife in other situations, but not in that. Adam, you remember. Who first sinned? Was it Adam or was it Eve? It was Eve, wasn't it? And when Eve brought the apple to Adam, he didn't have to accept it, did he? The race wouldn't have fallen. Only Eve, if he had not accepted it then. Why did he accept it? To be identified with her. That meant more to him. There's always a danger of a man. And so it is here. We don't know why, but Lot's wife turned back despite the fact that she'd been told particularly not to. She became a pillar of salt. She was involved in the things. She became the embodiment of the destruction that hit the city. She became a pillar of salt, presumably, when fire and brimstone fell from heaven. She would have felt that. And the Lord Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. It is not right for a Christian believer to turn back to the world. Case he be caught in the sins of the world. She loved the world too much. She loved Lot too much. Lot has blame for deciding to live there because Abraham had said to him, you choose where to go and I'll go to the other place. And he looked at the well-watered plains and decided that he would have those, whereas Abraham was up on the mountains and round about. Lot chose wrongly. Maybe he involved his wife in that also. But why couldn't he escape to the mountains? It was his wife who wanted the things that were past. It was his wife who particularly thought of his sons-in-law, her sons-in-law. There's no word that Lot actually was concerned about that. Why couldn't he escape to the mountain? Lest some evil take him and he die. Did he think bit like me, that he had a job getting along, and the evil would come to the plane before he got far enough. I mean, that's one plausible idea. But we have no idea. But he pointed out Zoar. And he said, can I go here? It's only a little place. Let me escape there, and my soul shall live. And the angel replied, who was the Lord, because the angels had left, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Now there were only three in Sodom, because Lot's wife became a pillar of salt, was Lot and his two daughters. Scholars seem to think, but it's very difficult to understand whether it's so, that actually there were 10 righteous people in this small place, this little place. And although it was allied with Sodom and Gomorrah, it was not quite on the plain there. Because God said, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. But the language would have led us to expect he was only looking for himself. That he was the one who didn't want to flee to the mountain because he didn't feel up to it. And yet it's interpreted as being that he was pointing out this city and pleading for their not being lost and burned up with Sodom and Gomorrah. We read that God remembered Abraham, this is verse 29, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. To be kind to Abraham, he spared Lot. Although Lot had vexed himself with the evils of the place. And it looks here as if Lot was accepted in his praying for the little place because of Abraham's prayer. If there be 10, right down to 10 righteous in the city. But this was a little city. Maybe they hadn't got infected with all the things that were going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And therefore, perhaps they were spared. It's one of the explanations, but it is a difficult thing to understand. Why could he not escape to the mountain unless some evil overtake him? And the Lord interprets that as his pleading for the city. It looks as if, because of Abraham's prayer, the Lord had given Lot such a spirit of helplessness that the place that the Lord wanted to spare for Abraham's sake, that Lot pleaded for and went into. Because afterwards he went to the mountain, didn't he? Afterwards he got himself up into the mountain. Well, there's the story. But the key thing I want you to remember is when you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let the preacher be as one that is mocking. Don't interpret the preacher as mocking you because he preaches the destruction of this world and the place of hell, and you've not ever before experienced the destruction of this world and you've never seen hell. But don't think he's mocking on that account, because there is real danger to the unbeliever that the once he's heard the gospel may be his only chance. He may get a number of chances, but he has no right to expect it otherwise. Lot seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Don't let the preacher, don't think of the preacher as mocking you. Don't think of the gospel message as being a mockery to the clever thinkers. Just believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.